me get situated here. All right. How's everybody doing this morning? A little chilly, but we can't complain, right? Weather hasn't been bad. All right, so let's pray first, which we already did, but Father, we in your here, Lord, we sense your presence during praise and worship, and we thank you for that, Father. But now we lift up this time the message, Lord. I pray that you speak through me, Holy Spirit, show us what you want us to hear today, what you want us to see. Lord, as this it's every day's a walk, our walk with you, and every day you have something new for us, Father. You give us our daily bread. And so, Father, we just ask that you give us today what you would want us to have. Speak through me, Lord. I pray that anything that comes through my out of my mouth comes through you first. So I ask for your help in the name of Jesus. So the title of the message today is Hope, Joy, and Dogs. Okay. There's a hidden message in some of the things we're going to share today. But first of all, we have an Instagram video I want to show you about a dog. I know dogs bring us joy, don't they? Well, yeah. I mean, just like anything in life, you know, there's good and bad, but I believe God created dogs to bring us joy. Don't you agree? Yeah. And if you spell dog backwards, God, not being sacrilegious or anything, but, you know, and these people say dogs are man's best friend. Well, Jesus is our best friend, but he'll use dogs. Yes, unconditional love. They're happy to see you even when you've had a bad day. Hopefully they obey. Okay, here we go.
Are you hungry? Yeah? Okay, well, come here. I'll tell you what. Come say grace. Come say grace. Dear Lord, say grace. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and everything you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to be the man and puppy that you've allowed us to be. Father, thank you for our friends and family, the prayers and support and energy that they give us. Father, just guide and guard and watch over them as they go through the days ahead. Father, I do ask a special prayer that you help me to not chase the neighbor's cat and to listen to my master whenever he asks me to do something. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, go eat.
And then he goes to eat. Isn't that the cutest? You know, if a dog can learn to pray, so can we. Right? Amen. Okay. And then the next one, there's two of these. This first one, I just want you to, there's a hidden message in this that I'm going to tie into my message. So just kind of watch, let the Lord maybe speak to you. So we'll play this one first, and then we'll play the second one kind of like this a little later.
I can see it.
Yeah, I can see it too. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah, well, I just feel like you can't be 100% sure because you're not looking in the water with me, so I'll just double check for you. Yeah, it's definitely down there. See, if you looked in the water with me, you'd be able to see it.
Well, I see it just fine, so.
I'm telling you, man, I'm looking right at it.
Yeah, every time you do that, you're actually making it harder for me to see.
It's right there.
You keep shaking,
it's right there, dude.
You keep shaking the water around it.
Right? I don't know, dude. I think I'm just going to deep dive for it. Navy SEAL this.
Okay, well, you're a dog, not a seal, so.
I'm going for it. Here we go.
No. Not even close. No. Come on, you're getting all wet.
Wow, yeah, that's at least like 3,049 or
something. Number.
Two clicks or something down there.
No, just let me think of a better plan, okay?
Tell Mom and Dad I'm a good boy.
I'm going away. Hold on.
Come on. saw a few sharks. I had to get out of there.
There's definitely more sharks.
Dude, come on. I think if we both go down at the same time, we'll be able to get it.
Okay, yeah, I know that sounds like a terrible plan, and I'm not gonna do that.
Seriously, I had it in my mouth. I was so close.
You at no point had it in your mouth. I saw the whole thing. You weren't even close.
I had to drop it. There was like 70 sharks.
Yeah, where do we know sharks, so?
It's definitely down there. I can see it.
Yeah, I can see it too. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah, well, I just feel like you can't be 100% sure because you're not looking in the water with me, so I'll just double check for you. Yeah, it's definitely down there. See, if you looked in the water with me, you'd be able to see it.
Well, I see it just fine. So.
Yeah, the gist of it, you know, they're looking at this ball. They're trying to get at it. You know, the one's really trying, the other one's just kind of watching it. But there's going to be more to it, so... We'll keep going, but kind of keep that in mind later when we show the second one. I know it's kind of hard to hear it, exactly what they're saying, but the one saying, well, you know, I can do it. I'm going to be like a scuba diver. I'm going to, you know, if there's sharks, I'm going to go in and get it. Anyway, so we'll go on. Okay. I felt like the Lord said that, you know, when there's seasons in our life, he wants to see what he's doing, you know, how he's moving. He wants us to understand and recognize and to move with him, right, in certain times of seasons. An example was I heard a testimony of someone who asked Chuck Smith, that was the pastor of Calvary Chapel in California when the Jesus Revolution came, and, you know, when all the hippies started coming to his church. He said he sensed that he needed to know how God was moving, because he was definitely moving, because he was bringing all these people into his church. Some members of the church had issues with it, how they looked. They were unconventional looking, you know. They may not have dressed right, didn't have the look, or they just looked different, right? So he said one of the elders of his church put a sign on the door. No bare feet allowed, because they were coming with bare feet. They were hippies, okay? So Chuck said he had a decision to make, to move with how God was moving, which was bringing in the lost, bringing in those that didn't look like the church members normally, and either welcome them no matter what, how they looked, or reject them because they didn't fit the church mold, the religious mold, right? So, at the beginning of this year, I sensed, you know, and Jenny shared too, that she sensed the same thing, that the Lord was saying, it's the season of hope. He's bringing hope back to us, his people. And many also sensed that the Lord was emphasizing the gifts of the body of Christ, what each member has, and then also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I was also sensing that he was prepping us to increase, because he is pouring out his spirit, right? He's pouring out his spirit like never before. Well, he's been pouring it out since Acts chapter 2, but there seems to be waves, right? And all the revivals that you hear about, there's waves that Holy Spirit, but he wants us to get ready. He wants us to be ready, because he has to work through us, right? So, and, you know, like Joel chapter 2 says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So I got to thinking about hope, and the scripture that really stuck out was Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I looked it up. There are 550 verses with the word hope in the Bible. So it's kind of important. I think God wants us to understand hope. And the definition of hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen to be true, to expect with confidence, trust, a desire accomplished by expectation or of a belief in fulfillment. How we each have something we're hoping for, right? Right? Okay. Just checking. And from that verse, I sense the Lord was emphasizing the connection of hope with joy. Because it says, the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace. But joy really stuck out. So joy is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, verse 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are fruits, right? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's one of his manifestations. So they're not works. There's nothing that they aren't anything we can conjure up, right? Because it's a fruit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it, we can't do it on from our own efforts. Our part is to recognize it, understand it, learn, yield to him when he, you know, fills us with joy, and walk in it, right? I remember years ago, I sensed the Lord speak to me, and he said, you think I'm a stuffed shirt. Yeah, so what do you say? No, Lord, I don't. Well, you know, he knows everything. And he started, you know, and he started showing me, yes, I'm a holy, he's holy. He's a holy God. There's no doubt about that. And yes, he wants to grow us up to walk in his holiness. But he's also joyful. You know, he's got a sense of humor. He's fun, you know. But religion teaches the opposite. I mean, look at what Jesus had to put up with the Pharisees and the scribes. Oh, my gosh. You know, he was the opposite of what they stood for. You know, they had their, yes, there was the law at that time, but they had their rules and their regulations. And, you know, they attacked Jesus a lot because, he was the Son of God and he came with the truth. But they were religious, right? They thought they were better than the people. Amen? So, you know, and so I believe that, you know, the Lord takes us, of course, you know, our walk is progressive. You know, we learn and he teaches us, but he's teaching us. He's a joyful God. I mean, it's a fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to have joy. Amen? And, well, we know in Nehemiah it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, Jesse Savelle, you always used to say, if the devil can steal your joy, he can steal your goods. So joy is powerful. Joy is important. And again, I looked it up, there's 590 verses with the word joy. The definition of joy is an emotion evoked by well-being, success, good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. A state of happiness or felicity, a source or cause of delight. You know, the Lord delights in us. It's joy. Joy helps us get through tough times. It helps us to stand for what we are believing the Lord for in his promises. You know, we can read his promises. If we're maybe not walking in all those that he's promised, we can have that hope. We believe what he says. And then that joy feeds our hope because it's a desire. A desire. Success, good fortune. Prospect of possessing what one desires. So it helps also feed hope. Joy feeds hope, which feeds our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And Jesus, of course, is always our example. He was able to face going to the cross because of joy. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe Jesus' faith was tested before going to the cross. even though he was the Son of God. You know, I think we think, well, he was the Son of God, he did everything. Well, not according to Hebrew. Well, I mean, he did do everything without sin. I'm not saying that. But he, everything we face in life, he faced. He had to be that spotless lamb. And according to Hebrews 5:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus had to be tested in order to know what we go through. And joy helped his faith, because he believing and seeing the power of his promise of his resurrection and the salvation of all who would receive him. So, you know, we read about how he was in torment in the garden before he had to go to the cross. He sweat blood. His body, it was in so much turmoil or trauma, or, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit was showing him, preparing him, this is what you're going to have to do. They're going to arrest you. They're going to put a crown of thorns on your head. They're going to press it into your head. They're going to whip your backs with cat and nine tails. You're going to carry a cross. I believe the Holy Spirit prepared him for going to the cross and then on the cross. Yeah, I don't know. If you disagree, that's fine. But I think that's why he was so conflicted, because he told the Father three times, if it be your will, you know, let this cup pass before me, but not my will, your will be done. He prayed that three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. But then, I believe he also showed, the Holy Spirit, I believe he also showed Jesus us. I believe he showed us the harvest, the billions of people created to spend eternity. I mean, Jesus had been in heaven. He knows what heaven was like. And I think, though, the Holy Spirit showed him, if you go to the cross and buy them all back to me, to the Father, this is the joy that you're going to experience. And that's his love. That's how much he loved us. So Jesus, but even though he was, you know, seeing the horrible things he had to go through to get to the cross and die on the cross, I believe he also saw us. He saw every human for salvation. He saw our faces. And then I think he saw him being rose from the dead. I think he saw the Holy Spirit raising him out of the ground and going up, taking his blood to the mercy seat before the Father and said, here, Father, I paid for them all. That was the joy. He saw the joy. So when we go through hard times, we can ask the Holy Spirit, show me the joy that you want me to see in this trial or this, you know, whatever it is you're going through. Because there's a joy. There's an end game, you know. Everything that it says that what we see temporarily is subject to change. Amen? So Jesus had to be tested. I believe his faith was tested, but it was a joy. Because Hebrews 5:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. Yeah. So he had to go through everything we went through. And so the Lord wants us to experience his joy here on earth. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then Jesus said in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen. And I think joy, you know, it's a fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to experience for ourselves, but also to be that light that's shining in the dark world, you know, to encourage people. But joy is a fruit, not our works. Okay, so let's check back with the dogs in the water. And I know it's not a really good picture, but I want you to watch a couple things. The ball in the water, what each of the two dogs are doing, and then what's behind them in this one.
Oh, dude, your breath smells.
I saw it. It's definitely down there, dude.
Really?
Yeah, 1,000%. Can't confirm. Location of the payload?
It's just a ball.
It's right there.
Wow.
It's right there.
It's quite good, it's
see it, too? It's right
there. It's almost like you can just see it through the water, and you don't have to scuba dive to see it.
That's funny, because in high school, they called me Scuba Steve.
What do we know? No one called you Scuba Steve, so...
It's probably the Coast Guard. Finally got my distress signal.
No, probably not. Probably Amazon, but another box of balls because you keep losing them in the pool.
Make sure you tell Oprah that I was an American hero.
Wow.
How long was I down there?
Not long enough.
Had to be at least a minute.
No, not even close.
I stopped counting at like 30.
It was barely 5 seconds.
I remember training for stuff like this.
You literally never trained for this.
Back in scuba camp.
Yeah, you can barely sit when mom and dad tell you to sit.
And there's always one thing they told us in scuba camp.
You literally never went to scuba camp.
No balls left behind. Tell Oprah I'm an American hero.
I mean, I feel like at this point we should just go get another ball.
I love you, Oprah. Okay, I can do this.
Can you see what's behind? There were two more balls behind him, right? Okay, so this is what I saw in it. I felt like the Lord kind of called him out. They were intensely focused on the ball in the water. Would you agree? The one on the left was making efforts, trying to get the ball to move or to bring it out, while the one on the right just stared at it as if willing it or just waiting for the other dog to get it up, you know, and then maybe he would pounce on it. He was ready to pounce on it. He wasn't making any effort. He was just, you know, watching the one on the left, making funny comments on it. If you want to see the video, it's on Instagram. It is really funny. But, and so you notice the two balls on the edge of the water right behind, or on the edge of the pool right behind them, right? So you wondered, did the dogs not know they were there? Were they so focused and, you know, intently focused on the ball in the water that they didn't realize there were two behind them? Or did they not realize they could experience what they wanted to with those two balls that they had with the one ball in the water, because they never had experience with those two balls behind them? Did they think, well, all we've known is this ball in the water? Maybe because they never had prior experience with that. Those two balls in the water. They couldn't see the possibilities of leaving that ball dead in the water that they couldn't get at, leaving it and, you know, maybe looking and see what those other two balls behind them could do. So I felt like the balls represented the one dead in the water that the dogs can't get to, they represent things in our past, good or bad. We can't get to them. They're done. Nothing we can do about it. We can't change them, right? Prior experiences, you know, we here at our church, you know, if we're wounded, we do look at that. We know the Father wants to heal that. Comfort those wounds so we can walk free with him, right? And then I felt like it's the way we have always done church. Do we have religious mindsets, agendas? Or is it limitations we have put on ourselves and each other, expecting or letting others do it all? Like the dog on the right, he stood there, man. He was going to go after it if the one on the left could bring it up, right? There's one ball and two dogs. But only one was really making an effort to get that ball out of the water. And I believe the two balls on the edge of the pool represented new things. And the new move. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to move in us, our personal lives, but also corporately in new ways. New experiences that we've never maybe experienced before. We might, and it's okay. We might be a little trepidatious about it, right? But we can't fall for the lie of the enemy that says, oh, you don't want the move of the Holy Spirit, you know. People can get weird, you know. Might have all these other spirits coming in. I think the Holy Spirit can handle it. You know, as we yield to him, we can recognize the Holy Spirit, you know, his fruit, right? What we just read about, joy, peace, order. He's a God of order. He's holy. We can recognize the difference. So we don't want to believe that lie from Satan. Amen? New things, new moves of the Lord wants to bring to the body of Christ. New experiences with him. And the fruit of the Spirit, we talked about that. And then the gifts of the body of Christ. Recognizing our individual gifts and letting the Lord use us. Not be like the dog on the right, just not doing anything. I know it might seem silly, but I'd seen these videos on Instagram, I don't know, three weeks ago or so, and I just, every time I thought of them, I just started laughing. They just made me laugh, because the dogs are so cute, you know, they're cute, and they're so intense, and they're so focused, and you know they can't get to that ball, but they try. And then there's two right behind them. They could just be having that fetching and running, you know, I don't know. So when I started, you know, praying about the message, these videos just kept coming up. And I said, Lord, that's kind of silly. He goes, yeah, it is. He goes, but I'm kind of silly sometimes. He's fun, you know? And he talks to us in different ways. Amen? Okay, so the gifts of the body of the Christ. So Romans 12:6-8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us each use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And then the gifts, that's the gifts of our body, we each have a gift. Amen? God has given, because we're all members of one body, he's given us all a gift. And then the two balls also represent the gifts of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit move in our services. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. So I just sense that, you know, the Lord, he wants us to move. He's going to move. He's going to bring people into our church that may be involved in some dark stuff. They're not going to look like us. They're going to be tats, earrings, who knows, barefoot. And we don't want to allow that religious spirit to hinder the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do. Because remember, he loved us before, when we were dead in our sins. He loved us, and he loves those people. He loves everyone right where they are. Amen? So we don't want to be like the dog trying to resurrect something old. You know, we always used to do it this way. We need to keep doing it that way. We don't want to be like that ball dead in the water. Amen. We want to be open to the Holy Spirit. We can trust him. I mean, my goodness. He is bigger than the enemy. He's bigger than any lying devil, lying spirit. We don't want to be afraid of moving with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. Amen? We each have him. We know. We know God's Spirit. We can discern it. But we want to love people. We want to welcome them. And I truly believe God is going to bring them. He's going to bring them in. Just like he did Chuck Smith's church. He had no idea. Here comes these hippies. I just feel the presence of God right now. Father, I just feel your presence. You're going to bring them in. And we will, Father, we will be open. We will love them as you love them, Jesus. We'll see them through your eyes, Jesus. We will, Father. We won't depend on Jenny to do it all. We won't depend on a small group to do it all. We all will do it, Father, because we are your body. We thank you, Father. Just praise you. Thank you, Lord. And Father, show us. Show us if we have some mindsets, religious or that are not of your love, how you see the loss. Father, show us. Show us all so we can deal with them. That we can receive your love and give it away. Show us our gifts. So show us how to walk in those gifts, each member, and then the gifts of you, your Holy Spirit, your gifts, Lord, words of wisdom, knowledge, healing, manifestations. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, if you want somebody to pray with you, Tom and Sue are our prayer partners today. Does that make sense? Good. Well, Lord, we